When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you. Hey, if all the fruit and vegetables disappeared tomorrow, how would your family be affected? Ian Abasour, the agricultural community near Gaza, brutally attacked on October 7th, generates over half of Israel's vital produce. Families there desperately need your help to heal and recover. Please visit cityserve.us/LLFF. That's cityserve.us/LLFF. And take a moment and generously give what you can to bless Israel.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. On behalf of my son, Zach Clinton, who is co-host and a licensed professional counselor in residence, I want to say welcome and thank you for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Hopefully, you'll grow closer to God and those you love with us each and every day. That said, I cannot think of a better guest than my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Gary Sibsey. Dr. Sibsey is a professor of clinical psychology and the founding director of Liberty University's doctoral program in clinical psychology. He's a licensed clinical psychologist who has educated, trained, and supervised psychologists and counselors for over 20 years. Dr. Sibsey has been in clinical practice for nearly 30 years and is a governor-appointed board member to the Virginia Board of Psychology. He has a broad range of research and clinical interests, including the assessment and treatment of childhood disorders, anxiety and trauma disorders, and personality disorders. Gary writes, speaks, consults nationally and internationally. Dr. Sibsey, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Gary, as we get started, everybody, I think, agrees that mental health issues with our children, while they're soaring, I mean, we're seeing massive, again, upticks, or we've seen that, in stress and anxiety, depression, even suicidality. Self-harm's a big issue, Gary, and I think a lot of parents, it scares them to think Maybe there's something happening in our home, especially if there's some distance that's starting to take place. Gary, I want to step into this world. What are you seeing? You're out there on the front lines every day. What are you seeing that concerns you about mental health related issues, the stress, the pressure that our kids are under, and keeping the family cohesive unit together and flowing in a direction where we feel close, connected, and our kids are healthy?
Well, you know, a number of different things that you talked about that we're concerned that our kids are engaging in, that we see more and more, more and more kids engage in what we call tension reduction behaviors. These are things where they may cut themselves or, you know, engage in destructive behaviors. And you might ask, well, why are they doing this? And part of what drives these kind of behaviors are really dysregulated emotions, dysregulated feelings, is that our kids are lacking in the skills for managing and dealing with their emotions and being able to problem solve when they're feeling emotionally activated. So how do they learn these skills? And as we've talked on and on, that the very cutting edge of neuroscience is that the brain learns the skills of thinking, feeling, relating, and communicating and problem solving in the context of relationship interactions and these, you know, in the day-to-day stuff that goes on between a parent and a child. This is the context where you learn how to do that.
Our kids are up against a lot, Gary. Let's just be honest here for a moment. When they pack up and go to school, when they're at after-school activities, whether it's sports or what have you, we don't know everything that's coming at them. We don't know what they're experiencing up online and how they're getting pounded online. And so, again, bringing it back, if they don't have these key skills, they're getting beat up pretty bad, maybe even bullied in this world, and they're getting lost. Mom, Dad, turn this up, because what are some of the key elements you begin to teach, Gary? What do you spend a lot of your time in when you're doing therapy with families and these kids one-on-one that really, again, is manifesting and showing up as a real deficit that they need to work on?
Well, one of the skills is learning empathy skills. So we teach parents empathy is not just, you know, being sympathetic. It's not just being compassionate. Those are important. But empathy is actually a skill. So we break it down into two pieces. One is emotional empathy, and thought empathy is why do they feel that way? Now, how do you help them learn this? Well, helping parents learn it, and how do you help your child learn what they feel and why they feel that way? That's crucial if you're going to be able to go on to problem solving. So one of the things that you have to learn as a parent is to listen, when your child's upset, is learning to ask them, what's up? What's happened? Give me the story. So having your child give you the story of what's happened, listening to them without interrupting, without judging them, without jumping to like, well, there's the problem. You shouldn't have done that. It's just hear them out. And then learn how to summarize back to them what they just told you, right? Now, believe it or not, this is huge, because if you can't do that, then they don't think you heard them.
Gary, I can imagine a few people listening right now saying, hey, wait a second. I hear you, but you don't know my kids. They don't want to talk. I mean, it's like when you try to sit down with them and ask them how their day's going, they look at you like, are you kidding me? Or they grunt or something, you know? Gary, how do you break through that wall? If we don't have, we've lost our emotional connectedness, you know that? And typically all they want to do is come home and go up into their room and lock the door and jump get up online.
Well, now as you and I had talked in another episode, that's a time when you have to begin with the banking time and special time. Right, just so that your child enjoys being around you, right, and feels close enough to you and willing to just engage you. But and so then you got to work on repairing your relationship. But even in a relationship that's a repaired relationship, in day-to-day interactions, we want to help our kids learn, you know, how to do this. So, for example, just the other day, a mom comes in, tells me that her son, you know, had this huge temper tantrum, and we looked at, well, what happened? And the little fella's sister came in his room and took his, you know, his PlayStation controller, and he was just really ticked off about it, went stomping into her room, pulled it out of her hands, pushed her on the bed, and went stomping back into his bedroom. And of course, the sister yelled, you know, bloody murder. And so mom goes upstairs to have this conversation with him. And she, now she's, this is the time to have one of these conversations of like, what happened? Right? Why did you do that? Rather than just jumping right into, you know, issuing out punishments so she's learned how to have these conversations with him, and she wanted to hear the story. Like, what happened? And he said, well, she came in and took my controller, and I went and I took it back from her. He said, well, okay. Now, this was an important piece. So she came in and took your controller. So you were ticked off at her because she did this, and I understand that. But here's the problem. We don't do those kind of things when we get mad, right? You're not going to put your hands on your sister. You're not going to push her down, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get physical. All right. So now we're going to have to come up with a different way of handling a problem like that besides what you did. So she was able to set the stage for that. Right. And literally, heard him out and told him, I understand why you're angry. I get it, but you can't handle it that way. And that's a part of what we call emotion coaching and emotional problem solving. Now, it sounds easier than what it really is, but you notice the difference was that she didn't just jump right into a punishment mode with him. Because had she done it, it could have really turned into even more of a disaster. So then at that point, you want to help them find other ways. How do you deal with that? You need to be able to do this on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't have to be so dramatic like that. We also see it if, you know, your child comes in from the bus stop and they throw their book bag down and they're in a really bad mood of asking, so what happened? What's got you so upset? And see if they'll give you the story over some milk and cookies while you're sitting at the kitchen counter so you can hear them out. A lot of times parents are so bothered by, it's so easy to be bothered by your child's negative feelings that you find yourself just wanting to say,
shut it down. You just want to shut it down. You want to kill it. That's what you want to do. But Gary, listen, some people listening right now probably thinking that takes a lot of work. You're talking about a lot of work. It's exhausting. What happens then is we tend to escalate, in other words, control the situation. So that's where you see typically people go off and they just want to, quote, hey, give that back right now and everybody get to their rooms and forget this thing. Gary, rather than working it out, which really sets up what you were talking about earlier, and that's that relational connectivity thing. How many times have we heard the old adage, rules without relationship leads to rebellion, rules with relationship leads to respect? We've heard right. that. What mom and dad need to hear, and this is important, parenting is a responsibility. It takes work. You can't just put kids in a box and, you know, pour a little milk on them and expect them to grow. We have to, quote, get connected with them, spend time with them. And what's beautiful here, Gary, and I think this is where people miss it, if you would get connected with your son or daughter, your parenting would probably be a whole lot easier. It really would.
Oh, yeah.
And Gary, we're
yeah.
not talking about a lot of time. You teach relational connectedness. So you're saying, well, you just talked about the empathy skills training. That works best when you have a healthy relationship with your son or daughter. If you don't have a healthy relationship with them, it's probably not going to work very well.
Right. And, you know, and I also encourage parents to think it's not just during these heated interactions. Now, you can actually upgrade your parenting a little bit and help your child become a better thinker. Well, how can you do that? Well, ask them something like this. I'm okay with you getting those shoes. I don't have a problem with it. But why those shoes and not those shoes? Right. So see, in this situation, your child feels something, right? They feel something, but they don't really understand why. And there's a lot going on in the brain when you're able to think and feel simultaneously, that you have a feeling something's important to you, and you have to now explain why that's important. Now, as a parent, you're kind of creating a barrier that's not, you're not trying to be just, you know, obstructive just to be obstructive. You're being constructively obstructive, right? Because you're making them use logic to obtain what it is that they need rather than just emotion. And that's a key parenting principle. Anytime you have an opportunity, like, oh, you're going to go play baseball with your buddies? That's fine. Hey, before you go, though, I want you to tell me something. How could you make it funner than what it is? I know you enjoy doing it, but if you could change one thing about your game, what do you have to do? Oh, Dad, I don't know. Well, just give me one thing, right? I want him to be a little more creative. And he goes, you know, I think that they would move, they would pitch a little closer, because they keep trying to pitch from so far away like they're big leaguers, and nobody gets it across the plate, and we stand out there waiting all day. I think they should move closer. I said, I think it's a brilliant idea, but what if they hit the ball back at you and smack you in the head? Right. So then we get in this, oh no, then nobody even hits it that hard, and we don't even use a hard ball. So then you got them in this dynamic interaction that's problem solving. And you need, I usually tell parents, try to get 3 or 4 of those in a day. And your child's going to engage you because they want to get what they want to get. Now they have to go through you and use logic to get there.
Believe it or not, mom and dad, what I've consistently found is our kids, the number one thing that really still makes them happy is a good relationship with you. They want that connectedness. They need that. And as Chuck Swindoll and Paul Tournier and others have said, the busy, preoccupied parent often misses many a cue or opportunity to be in those moments, those special teachable moments that our kids need and that we need to build us. Hey, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host. Our special guest is Dr. Gary Sibsey. We're talking about emotionally healthy kids and some critical skills training that mom and dads need to battle through those tough spots, those tough issues in families. Gary, I'm going to come back here. We're fighting time a little bit, but empathy skills training, problem skills training, keep us going in this direction. Mom, dad, these are the gifts. Get these, because in this culture that we live in, it's not your daddy's Oldsmobile. We don't live in yesterday. When we grew up, the day is different. There's so much coming at us, coming at our kids, coming at our families, that we're in a fight, and we've got to win this fight, because the greatest thing we can do is pour into and raise a healthy generation of kids.
Well, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, we were talking about the special time thing, and you know, sometimes it's very useful and very relationally building when you can engage with your child in some activity and they are better at it than you. For you as a parent to be able to say to them, all right, show me how to do this. I'm not very good at it, right? And there's few things that kids love more than to take that opportunity to teach you something, right? And then now you can use that as a feedback about how good, like, you know, I don't get this, so don't put me down, or don't make fun of me. I can't get it right. And you might go, well, why are you doing this? Well, one of the things that you want to teach your kids is what it's like, right, to teach somebody. But you also want to model for them how to take feedback. And on the flip side, you want to shift your attention more toward the positive things. Learn how to ignore. So learning this sort of selective ignoring process is huge. As we talked about the boss thing before, if a boss is always picking out your negatives and they kind of ignore your positives, you start to lose heart.
Gary, we're fighting time. We only have a couple minutes left here, but I want to address the issue of differences just for a second. Sometimes there's a real disconnect between parents and children because there's differences in personality, maybe interests, skills, or what have you. And I'm not sure, well, hey, let's say this. Sometimes parents may say, I don't really like my son or daughter. You had better figure this out. Mom, dad, turn up the volume here for a second. Remember that old song, What I Like About You? You better figure out what it is that you love about your son or daughter, because they are picking up on the cues that you're sending. And if there's something between you, Gary, this is true, isn't it? You've got to get this fixed.
Well, and you know, so you may love your child to death, but not really like them, and they really get on your nerve. But your child is not able to make that distinction in their head, right? So they don't, most kids, especially if they're under 11 or 12 years old, can't go, yeah, my parent loves me, but they don't really like me because I'm annoying. That younger kids can't do that kind of thinking. They just think that you don't love them. And of course, this makes them angry, or, you know, they get more defiant. But these are the type of children that sometimes are referred to as difficult temperaments. And so parents need to recognize that, okay, if my child is like this, it may be because of sensory sensitivities or sensory modulation difficulties that they're having. And they have this low frustration tolerance and they're cognitively rigid. So that's going to require some different parenting. This is huge for parents, is to realize that parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach, right? You can't just use one parenting approach for all your kids. Pay attention to just how your child handles actually sensory input. They get overwhelmed by sound, by too much visual stimulation.
Gary, that's why they call it parenting. It's about being really emotionally invested in our relationship with our children and training them up as it says in Proverbs, in the way they should go. You know, I love the interpretation of that verse in two ways. One says, train them up in the ways of the Lord, and we agree with that. Another interpretation could be, train them up with their natural bent. In other words, attuned to their uniqueness. I like a both and piece there. God gives you a connection and hopefully a relationship that will lead them ultimately to the feet of Jesus and strengthen their walk as they go into adulthood and make their own way and have their own influence with their own families. That's what this is all about. That's what life, love, faith, and family is all about. It's just coming to you every day with a message of helping you strengthen your relationship with God and the ones you love the most. Dr. Sipsey, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to get you back.
Thank you, Tim. Look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Hey, if all the fruit and vegetables disappeared tomorrow, how would your family be affected? Ian Abasour, the agricultural community near Gaza, brutally attacked on October 7th, generates over half of Israel's vital produce. Families there desperately need your help to heal and recover. Please visit cityserve.us/LLFF. That's cityserve.us/LLFF. And take a moment and generously give what you can to bless Israel.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. a lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, A Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, A Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.